Okay, here we are. This is the book of Jubilees. We're going to be starting in Jubilees 42. And let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, that we can come into this building. We have a place here to study. And we thank you that, Lord, you are our teacher. Holy Spirit, teach your people today. Show us what we need to see, Lord God, no matter how it is, what it is. And cover us now with the blood of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. Yeah, we stopped, got through 41. And it says here, 7 years of famine. This is, of course, in Egypt. It says, in the first year of the third week of the 45th Jubilee, the famine began to come into the land. And the rain refused to be given to the earth, for none whatsoever fell. And the earth grew barren, but the land of Egypt, there was food, for Joseph had gathered the seed of the land in the 7 years of plenty and had preserved it. And the Egyptians came to Joseph that he might give them food. And he opened the storehouses where was the grain of the first year, and he sold it to the people of the land for gold. And Jacob heard that there was found in Egypt, and he sent his 10 sons that they should procure food for him in Egypt. But Benjamin he did not send, and arrived among those that went there. And Joseph recognized them, but they did not recognize him. Now remember, Joseph at this point in time is second only to Pharaoh when Pharaoh's in the throne. So he's like running the show. And he recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. And he spoke unto them and questioned them. And he said to them, are you not spies? And have you not come to explore the approaches of the land? And he put them in ward. He threw them in jail. And after that, he sent them free again and detained Simeon alone and sent off his 9 brothers. And he filled their sacks with corn. He put their gold in their sacks, and they did not know. And he commanded them to bring their younger brother, for they had told him their father was living, and their younger brother. And they went up from the land of Egypt, and they came to the land of Canaan. And they told their father all that had befallen them, and how the Lord of the country had spoken roughly to them, and had seized Simeon till they should bring Benjamin. And Jacob said, fat chance. No, he didn't actually. That's essentially what he said. He says, me have you bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon also is not, and you will take Benjamin away. On me has your wickedness come. It makes you wonder what he suspected of his sons, doesn't it? And he said, my son will not go down with you, lest peradventure he fall sick, for their mother gave birth to 2 sons, and one has perished. And this one also you will take from me. If perchance he took a fever on the road, would bring down my old age and sorrow unto death. And for he saw that their money had been returned to every man in his sack, and for this reason he feared to send him. Figured something was up. You know, they don't give you 100% refund when you buy groceries. And the famine increased and became sore in the land of Canaan, and in all the land save the land of Egypt, for many of the children of the Egyptians had stored up their seed for food from the time when they saw Joseph gathering seed together and putting it in storehouses and preserving it for the years of famine. Now this just goes to show, when you see something coming and you see somebody preparing, you might want to do it yourself. That's what they did. Nobody else saw it coming. And the people of Egypt fed themselves thereon during the first year of their famine. But when Israel saw that the famine was very sore in the land, and that there was no deliverance, he said to his sons, go again and procure food for us, that we die not. And they said, we shall not go unless our youngest brother go with us. We shall not go. And Israel saw that if he did not send him with them, they should all perish by reason of the famine. And Reuben said, Give into my hand. And if I do not bring him back to you, slay my two sons instead of his soul. Yeah, that's, his two sons didn't take kindly to that, I'm sure. And he said to him, he shall not go with you. Forget it. I don't trust you. And Judah came near and said, send him with me. And if I do not bring him back to you, let me bear the blame before you all the days of my life. And that he bought into. And he said, and he sent him with them in the second year of this week, on the first day of the month. And they came to the land of Egypt with all those who went, and they had presents in their hands, stacked almonds, terebinth, nuts, and pure honey. So they're taking the last things they have, evidently, and saying, these are gifts for you, Joseph. Of course, they didn't know he was Joseph. And they went and stood before Joseph and saw Benjamin, and he, Joseph, saw Benjamin, his brother, and he knew him. And he said to them, is this your youngest brother? And they said to him, it is he. And he said, Yahweh be kind to you, my son. And he sent him into his house and brought forth Simeon to them and made a feast for them. And they presented him the gift which they had brought in their hands. And they ate before him, and he gave them all a portion. But the portion of Benjamin was seven times larger than that of theirs. Isn't that interesting? He just couldn't help himself. This is my brother. You guys are all half brothers. Okay, this guy is the real brother. He's my little brother, and I'm going to give him what I want to give him. And they ate and drank and arose and remained with their asses. And Joseph devised a plan whereby he might learn their thoughts as to whether thoughts of shalom or peace prevailed among them. And he said to the steward who was over his house, fill all their sacks with food and return their money unto them in their vessels, and my cup, the silver cup out of which I drink, put it in the sack of the youngest and send them away. Any comments? Pretty much what we know, is it not? Pretty much what you get out of Genesis. Sorry. But it's concise here because it's not the most important thing that we're seeing. I think that this book assumes you already have read Genesis. This book assumes that you have a basis by which to understand what's really going on. Jubilees 43. Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. And he did as Joseph had told him, and filled their sacks for them with food, and put their money in their sacks, and put the cup in Benjamin's sack. And early in the morning they departed, and it came to pass that when they had gone from there, Joseph said to the steward of his house, pursue them, run and seize them, saying, for good have ye requited me with evil. You have stolen from me the silver cup out of which my Lord drinks. And bring back to me their youngest brother. Fetch him quickly before I go forth to the seat of judgment. He actually wanted this kid in his hands before he had to go in and do his chores for the day. And he ran after them and said unto them, according to these words, and they said to him, Yahweh forbid that your servants should do this thing and steal from the house of your Lord any utensil, and the money also which we found in our sacks the first time we, your servants, brought back from the land of Canaan. How then should we steal any utensil? Behold, here are we in our sacks. Search, and whatever you find, and wherever you find the cup in the sack of any man amongst us, let him be slain, and we and our asses will serve your Lord. And he said to them, not so. The man with whom I find him only shall I take as a servant, and you shall return in peace to your house. They should have thought something up, was up right then. They're going, no, no, we don't want your lives. We want the kid. And as he was searching for their vessels, beginning with the eldest and ending with the youngest, it was found in Benjamin's sack. And they rent their garments and laded their asses and returned to the city and came to the house of Joseph. And they all bowed themselves on their faces to the ground before him. They didn't take off. They didn't leave him. They went back for their little brother. And Joseph said to them, You have done evil. And they said, what shall we say? How shall we defend ourselves? Our Lord has discovered the transgression of his servants. Behold, we are the servants of our Lord and our asses also. And Joseph said to them, I too fear Yahweh. As for you, go you to your homes and let your brother be my servant, for you have done evil. Know you not that a man's delights in his cup as I with this cup? And yet you have stolen it from me. And Judah said, oh, my Lord, let your servant, I pray you, speak a word in my Lord's ear. Two brothers did your servant's mother bear to our father. One went away and was lost and has not been found. And he alone is left of his mother. And your servant, our father, loves him, and his life also is bound with him. With the life of this lad. And it will come to pass when we go to our servant, your servant, our father, and the lad is not with us, he will die. And we shall bring down our father with sorrow unto death. This is what this situation means to our family. That this is what's going on. This is pretty heavy stuff. They said he was lost. They're talking to Joseph here. Oh, yeah, I was lost, all right. And he says he was lost. And gosh, we haven't found him. Like, you know, maybe they went and looked, you know, but they were very deliberate. They did a pretty good job of doing a setup, you know, cutting up the animal, getting the blood, putting it on his coat, and doing all that stuff, covering their crime. But I think he's realizing here that they're not going to leave this little brother behind. And that means they have changed. They do feel badly about what happened to Joseph. They didn't actually kill him or see him dead, but they expected that he would be gone forever and not found. Any comments? Okay. Now, rather, let me, your servant, abide instead of the boy as a bondman unto my Lord, and let the lad go with his brethren. For I become surety for him at the hand of your servant, our father. And if I do not bring him back, your servant will hear the blame to our father forever. And Joseph saw that they were all accordant in goodness, one with the other. And he could not refrain himself and told them that he was Joseph. See, he did see this goodness thing. That they were all in one accord. This ain't going to happen again. We're not going to let Dad down again. We're going to go do what's right this time. And, you know, whatever it takes, we're not going to do this. And he saw that. And I think God showed it to him. And he conversed with them in the Hebrew tongue. Ooh, I bet that was a shock. All of a sudden, this Egyptian Pharaoh, you know, Baruch Hashem Adonai. And they just go, ooh. And fell on their neck and wept. But they knew him not. They still didn't recognize this little boy with the coat of many colors that they threw in a pit. They still didn't recognize him. He's a man now. Not just any man. He's an Egyptian leader. And they knew him not. And they began to weep. And he said to them, weep not over me, but hasten and bring my father to me. And you see that it is my mouth that speaks, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see it too. Okay, Benjamin sees. For behold, this is the second year of the famine, and there are still 5 years without harvest or fruit of trees or plowing, come down quickly, you and your households, so that you perish not through the famine and be not grieved for your possessions. For Yahweh sent me before you to set things in order that many people might live. He acknowledges that God is in charge of this whole thing and that God did it. Joseph was not a bitter man. You know, it keeps saying that Yahweh was with him. And everyone who saw him saw that God was with him. Yahweh was with him. And there was an anointing, a presence on his life that when they talked to him for just a little bit, they said, who's there like this guy that has the Spirit of God on him? That's the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to have that testimony, are we not? That as we go through the life, the people say, you know, that guy or that gal, there's just something about them. There's just something about them. And these people that are in the world, they know, see, and they can see. They may not come up to you and say, you know, what is this? Sometimes they do, but they do notice. Amen? And he said, just because I want many people to live. And tell my father that I am still alive. And you, behold, you shall see that Yahweh hath made me a father to Pharaoh and ruler over his house and over all the land of Egypt. And tell my father of all my splendor and all the riches and splendor that Yahweh has given me. Now, in the Bible, this story has more to it. This story talks about his splendor is brought out more. Praise the Lord. And by the command of the mouth of Pharaoh, he gave them chariots and provisions for the way, and he gave them all many colored raiment and silver. Isn't it interesting? He gave them coats of many colors. Praise the Lord. See, that's not in the Bible. And to their father he sent raiment and silver and 10 asses which carried corn, and he sent them away. And they went up and told their father that Joseph was alive and was measuring out corn to all the nations of the earth, and that he was ruler over all the land of Egypt. Jewish boy does good. And their father didn't believe it, for he was beside himself in his mind. He couldn't wrap himself around. I think that there are going to be things that happen to us in the near future that it's going to be hard to get your mind around, of the glory of God and God being good. Things that we don't think could ever happen, that God wants to do, he can do. And things that we think can't be fixed will be fixed. See, he says that all of us in here, we have an inheritance in him. We have something that he wants to give us. Gifts. And he wants to bless you. And he knows what it's going to take to make you really happy. He does. He knows. He knows the desires of your hearts. And he wants to do that. And the day is coming when that's going to happen. And you're going to sit here and you're going to be beside yourself in your mind. You're going to, I gave up on that. I quit thinking about that years ago. Couldn't be. But when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent, the life of his spirit revived. And he said, you know, there will be that evidence, people. What God does. It is enough for me if Joseph lives. I will go down and see him before I die. Whew. Yes.
Pastor Bob preached a sermon. It's been quite a few years ago now. About this very portion. And every time I read it or hear it, it brings it to mind. And I just want to share it because I think it's such a nugget. He said that. The sermon he preached was that this is the way God operates in our lives. That if we were to see God in our mortal bodies for what he really is, it would kill us. We couldn't handle it. There was no way that we could contain it. So he like this. The same thing was held true, and actually in Genesis it says, Joseph says that if he sees me, he will die. It would kill him.
Yeah.
If he walked in and he knew that that was Joseph, and being as old as he was. So he said, take my wagons and let him know by taking those wagons that I'm alive. And then bring him to me, and the shock of it will have worn off, and he'll live. And Pastor Bob preached that's the way God operates in our lives. That God never cannot reveal himself in his glory to us, but he will send us wagons throughout our lives.
Amen.
And that some of us might get one or two, some might be fortunate enough to get four or five over our whole lifetime when we have something happen to us that cannot be explained any other way. That was God.
Amen.
And it can't be explained away. We can make no explanation for it, but that it was God. And that he said that he just wished each one of us that we'd have as many wagons as we could stand over our lifetime. So I just, every time I hear that, and every time we have something that happens to us that we know so well, that this was God. There was no other way this could have happened. It brings this story to mind.
Amen. Praise Amen. God. You know, years ago, I had something going on in my life, and I was trying to do something, and the door shut, and I was upset. And I went to prayer. I went up in the mountains. I was up on the Front Ridge. I could see Denver out there. And I can remember praying, and I was upset. But I got done, and I said, well, it is. And I felt like God gave me a key and said, this is what took place. And I said, well, knowing helps me, okay? I'll get over it. And he says, Alan, I'll make you an author. Well, I couldn't hardly read, let alone write books. And I remember smiling to myself, looking out the front window of the car, and I just kind of picked up a little bit. And I thought, an author, huh? Okay. And it's okay. And I just drove off. 14 years later, I go to my front door of my house. I opened the door, and the delivery man is there with boxes of books. And at that very moment, God reminded me of what he said on the mountain. He says, an author, an author. And there it was. I had my book. I had my name on it. And I just go, geez, I forgot. I had no idea. I didn't even remember that it was what he said. And he worked everything together. You know, we think we have to control things. I know that I don't do that, but others do. But we think we're going to get what we want because we really work hard and God says, you know, we go out and try and do it. He is capable of doing it all and handing it to you. And you just kind of go, oh my. And that's what happened with me. Anybody else? Any other comments? Okay. Praise the Lord. Jubilees 44. Israel goes down into Egypt. And Israel took his journey from Haran, from his house, on the new month of the third month. And he went on the way to the well of Oath. And he offered a sacrifice to Yahweh the Almighty of his father Isaac on the seventh of this month. And Jacob remembered the dream that he had seen at Bethel. That's what I'm talking about here. Suddenly you remember something. And he feared to go down into Egypt. And while he was thinking of sending word to Joseph to come to him, in other words, have him come here, and that they would not go down, he remained there 7 days, if perchance he could see a vision as to whether he should remain or go down. And he celebrated the harvest festival of the first fruits with old grain, for in all the land of Canaan there was not a handful of seed in the land. For the famine was over all the beasts and cattle and birds, and also over man. And on the 16th, Yahweh appeared to him and said to him, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. And he said to him, I am Yahweh, the Almighty of your fathers, the Almighty of Abraham and Isaac. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will make you a great nation. I will go down with you. I will bring you up again. And in this land shall ye be buried, shall you be buried. And Joseph put his hands upon, and Joseph shall put his hands upon your eyes. Fear not, go down unto Egypt. I'm not sure exactly what that phrase. Anybody got an idea of what putting his hands upon your eyes is all about? Well, I think you may be on to it, because we've already seen that once where Abraham laid back and Jacob was lying there as a young, as his grandson in his bosom, and Abraham took his hand and had him close his eyes like this, and he died. And I think that that might be what's going on here. Anybody else? Okay. Praise the Lord. Is that what you were going to say, Mary Ann?
I agree with what you're saying, but I was also kind of thinking, remember, Joseph had a dream, and he told his father about it, and his dad just pondered in his heart, and, you know, that was another thought that came across, that you shall see your son. You know, he had given you, he had told you in advance this is what God was going to do for him, and he was able to see that God was faithful to his son,
yeah,
that he loved. So.
What that is, that's a reference back to Genesis, the same account, to the fact that before Joseph went anywhere, he was having dreams and God was showing him. And one of the things was that, you know, his brothers would do obeisance unto him, and the stars and the moon and everything would do that. And it didn't make him the favorite son to his brothers. And that's part of the reason why they threw him down there. That's not covered in here. You're supposed to get that from the Bible. Amen?
He says that he has the Feast of First Fruits here, and they didn't have any. Well, the Feast of First Fruits is that first day of the week following Passover, which is the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And that is the day that they were to take the first barley sheaf and wave it before the Lord, as that was a foreshadowing of Jesus being the first fruits offered back to the Lord. And this is this day that they're talking about.
Yeah, amen. Now, it says, he says, I will go down with you, and I will bring you up again. And in this land you shall be buried, and Joseph shall put his hands upon your eyes. Fear not, go down unto Israel, Egypt. Now, he did go down and he did come back, but he didn't come back alive. He came back dead. Okay, he died and his bones were brought back and buried in Machpelah, in the double cave near Hebron that everybody else is buried in. And we're going to read that here in just a second. And his sons rose up and his sons' sons, and they placed their father and their possessions upon wagons. And Israel rose up from the well of the oath on the 16th of this third month, and he went to the land of Egypt. And Israel sent Judah before him to his son Joseph to examine the land of Goshen. For Joseph had told his brothers that they should come and dwell there, and that they might be near him. And this was the goodliest land in the land of Egypt, and near to him, for all of them also, and also for the cattle. So it's a nice open place, cream of the crop. And these are the names of the sons of Jacob who went down into Egypt with Jacob their father, Reuben, the firstborn of Israel. And these are the names of his sons, Enoch, Phallu, Hezron, and Carmi, five. Simeon and his sons, and these are the names of his sons, Jemiel, Jamin, Ohad, Jachin, Sohar, and Shaul. And the son of Zephathite, the son of the Zephathite woman, seven. And Levi and his sons, and these are the names of his son, Gershon, Kohath, Merari, four. Judah and his sons, and these are the names of his sons, Shelah, Perez, Zerah, four. Issachar and his sons, and these are the names of his sons, Tola, Puah, Jashub, Shimron. 5. Zebulon and his sons, and these are the names of his sons, Sarid and Elon and Jahiel. And these are the sons of Jacob and their sons whom Leah bore to Jacob in Mesopotamia. 6. And their one sister, Dinah, and all the souls of the sons of Leah and their sons who went with Jacob, their father, into Egypt, where 29 were 29, and Jacob, their father, being with them, were 30. What seems strange out of all that? Didn't Dinah die? Dinah died in the last chapter, grieving for Joseph. And yet she is mentioned here that she is the one daughter of. Now, they may have mentioned her just to honor her, okay, but not that she actually went, because they say that she died. Yeah, and buried, and it's really hard to do it when you're buried. And the sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, the wife of Jacob, who bore unto Jacob Gad and Asher, and these are the names of their sons who went down with him into Egypt, the sons of Gad, Ziphonai, Ziphon, Haggai, Shuai, Hezbon, and Uri, and Arieli, and Arodi, 8. And the sons of Asher, Imna, Ishvi, and Beriah, and Sarah, their one sister, 6. And all souls were 14, and all those of Leah were 44. And the sons of Rachel, and the wife of Jacob, Joseph and Benjamin, and they were born to Joseph in Egypt before his father came into Egypt. Those whom Asseth, daughter of Potiphar, priest of Helopolis, bare unto him, Manasseh and Ephraim, 3. And the sons of Benjamin, Bela, Becher, Ashbel, Gera, Naaman, and Ehi, and Rosh, and Muppum and Huppum. Yeah. I read that every time and I have to smile. You know, it sounds like a couple of linebackers. Muffum and Huppum. And Ard, 11. And all the souls of Rachel were 14. And the sons of Bilhah, the maid of Rachel, the wife of Jacob, whom she bare to Jacob, were Dan and Naphtali. And these are the names of their sons who went with them into Egypt. And the sons of Dan were Hushim, Salmon, Asudi, Jaka, Solomon, 6. And they died, the year in which they entered Egypt, and there was left to Dan Hushim only. Ouch. That's what you call losing your family. And these are the names of the sons of Naphtali: Jahiel, Guni, Jazer, Shalom, and Ive. And Ive, who was born after the years of famine, died in Egypt. And all the souls of Rachel were 26. And all the souls of Jacob, which went into Egypt, were 70 souls. That's an interesting number. 70 souls. And these are the children and his children's children, in all 70. But 5 died in Egypt before Joseph and had no children. And in the land of Canaan, 2 sons of Judah died, and Onan, and they had no children. And the children of Israel buried those who perished, and they were reckoned among the 70 Gentile nations. Now, that's a study all by itself. If somebody really wanted to study something out and try and find out how they came. Now, this is an angel dictating this information to Moses and said that they were reckoned among the 70 Gentile nations. If you have any questions, this lady right over here has a chart and she can show it to you. She had this question last week. Who are the Gentiles and what about them? And so I brought in a chart to help her. But the idea of 70, when Israel went into diaspora or went into Babylon, they went in for 70 years. It is a number of judgment to bring something completely to pass. Right now, there are those who believe that the Jubilees, that there are 40 Jubilees in what we're reading here, from creation to the time that Israel comes in to their land, to the promised land, but that there's 70 more to the end of the world. 70 Jubilees. And if you add 70 Jubilees to the time from that point, there are people who have calculated that and have for a long time, to the year 2016, that this would be the 49th year of the 70th Jubilee, is this year right now, and would enter into the Jubilee year sometime later in this fall, and then go on in. Then we have an Israel prophecy, not Israel day, prophecy night coming up after Chuck the next month, and I'm considering doing a talk on those things, because there are people that are trying to predict things based on the 70 Jubilees. Well, if you read this, it says there are 40 Jubilees from this point to this point. But we also know now that it wasn't, or it won't be, a full 40 Jubilees. It was 40 Jubilees plus, it says, 1 week and 2 days and 40 years. Any idea why it took longer to get the children of Israel into the land than the 40 prescribed Jubilees of this book? Remember, in the wilderness, they refused to go in, and God says, what I have to do is give you another Jubilee. And he had everything is being counted in Jubilees here. And so he said 49 years. You're going to be in a wilderness 40 years. Then there's going to be a week, 7 years you come out, and then two to go on in. Yes, for another Jubilee. So technically there was 41 Jubilees, not 40. Now, if you were back here reading this book, you might have said they got to go in on such and such a day. And maybe you would be right, but you weren't. No man knoweth the day or the hour. See, that's what I'm trying to get to here, is that God says, this is what's going to happen unless something else happens. And you say, well, why would God do that? Well, there's information that Satan doesn't get, that the spirits of darkness don't get from God, so that they can be more effective. There are areas where God holds it to himself. Paul was in heaven, remember? In the third heavens, know ye not, in the body, out of the body. Well, while he's there, and then there's John, he says, I heard the thunders roar, and the thunders spoke things. And he says, as I began to write down what they spoke, they came up and said, ah, don't write that down. And there's another point in there where there's silence in heaven. Was there really silence? Or was it beeped out? So that Satan doesn't have everything he needs to fight more effectively. Unlike our government, God does not give his enemy all the information. See, our government says, well, we're going to fight with this many guys. They got this. They can only shoot at this time. And they do all this stuff. Well, God doesn't do that. God says, no, you don't get to hear what the thunder said. You don't get to hear what I'm doing. You don't know. It says that they would not have crucified Jesus had they known the secrets or the mysteries of God. God held them mysteries because it's none of their business. See, Satan loves the things of men, not of God. And God, I think, is doing that. So now we've got 70 Gentile nations. Boy, that was a subdivide, wasn't it? Okay, we're going on to the next one. Questions. Surely somebody has a question about that. or comment about that. What? Oh, okay. This is my controller, my wife over here. Giving me a warning. Yeah, I have a time and a half a time. And now your half a time is gone. Actually, we're at Jubilees 45. Okay, we're going to do Jubilees 45. And Israel went into the country of Egypt, into the land of Goshen, on the new month of the 14th month in the second year of the third week of the 45th Jubilee. Okay, now that you know when that happened. And Joseph went to meet his father Jacob in the land of Goshen, and he fell on his father's neck and wept. Are you kidding? Boy, I bet he did. And Israel said to Joseph, "Now let me die, since I have seen you. And now may Yahweh Almighty of Israel be blessed, the Almighty of Abraham and the Almighty of Isaac, who hath not withheld his mercy and his free unmerited pardon from his servant Jacob." Oh, man. "It is enough for me that I have seen your face while I am yet alive. Yes, true is the vision which I saw at Bethel." God is a true God. "Blessed be Yahweh, my sovereign ruler, forever and ever, and blessed be his name." And Joseph and his brothers ate bread before their father and drank wine, and Jacob rejoiced with exceeding great joy because he saw Joseph eating with his brothers and drinking before him. And he blessed the Creator of all things, who had preserved him and had preserved for him his 12 sons. The importance there is 12. There aren't 11. Amen. And Joseph had given to his father and to his brothers as a gift the right of dwelling in the land of Goshen, in Ramses, and all the region round about, which he had ruled over before Pharaoh. And Israel and his sons dwelt in the land of Goshen, the best part of the land of Egypt. And Israel was 130 years old when he came into Egypt. We should all be so lucky. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all their possessions with bread as much as sufficed them for 7 years of the famine. Got through the whole thing. And the land of Egypt suffered by reason of the famine. And Joseph acquired all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh in return for food. And he got possessions of the people and their cattle and everything for Pharaoh. And in the years of the famine, were accomplished. And Joseph gave to the people in the land seed and food as they might sow in the eighth year, for the river had overflowed all the land of Egypt. So, you know, he didn't withhold their ability. He didn't make a welfare state out of them. Gave them what they needed to get back on their feet and to get on with life. Got them through the hard time. For in the 7 years of the famine, it had not overflowed and had irrigated only a few places on the banks of the river. But now it overflowed, and the Egyptians sowed the land, and it bore much corn that year. And there was the first year of the fourth week of the 45th Jubilee. And Joseph took the corn of the harvest, the fifth part for the king, and left four parts for them, for food and for seed. And Joseph made an ordinance for the land of Egypt until this day. And Israel lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. Wow. And all the days which he lived there were three Jubilees, 147 years, and he died in the fourth year of the fifth week of the 45th Jubilee. And Israel blessed his sons before he died and told them everything that would befall them in the land of Egypt. And he made known to them what would come upon them in the last days. and blessed them and gave to Joseph two portions in the land. Now, isn't that interesting? He had all that information. He had books. He had been given the prophecies. And so he just said, here's what's going to happen to you. Here's how it's going to go down. And just to let them know, this had been done all the way down through, by the way, all the way from Enoch. Enoch started it, and it kept coming down, and everybody kept talking about it. And he slept with his fathers, and he was buried in the double cave in the land of Canaan near Abraham his father, in the grave which he dug for himself in the double cave in the land of Hebron. And he gave all his books and the books of his fathers to Levi his son, that he might preserve them and renew them for his children unto this day. So the books of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and we're told in other places, it was Enoch, Noah, Shem, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And all of those had written books or had books. And here there it says here that he gave all the books to Levi, the priest, the high priest, basically, and said, keep these books and make sure nothing happens to them. That is probably where a good portion of Moses' books came to us, including this book. Jubilees 46. We'll take a break. We're going to start on Jubilees 46. But first, Johnny, can you give her... No, actually, she doesn't.
I don't need...
Go ahead and do it. They can cut it out.
Okay, you can cut it out. Okay, there's a show that I've watched, and you can... I recommend that you watch. I don't know if anyone's ever seen a show called Patterns of Evidence. It's a documentary. And it's based on the time that we've just been reading about. The archaeologists have said that there's no evidence of the Hebrews living in Egypt. And this filmmaker, this Hollywood filmmaker, who grew up in the church in Sunday school, it became an issue of his faith to prove that the Hebrews lived in Egypt. And so that's what the show is about. So I just recommend, I watched it free on Netflix if you have Netflix. Otherwise, you can purchase it from Amazon. I just watched it on Netflix if you have that. It's called Patterns of Evidence. And you can decide for yourself whether you... Patterns. P-A-T-T-E-R-N-S.
Yes, my wife is English. She doesn't speak it very
Patterns
well.
Of Evidence. So you can decide for yourself whether you believe it or not, but I think that you would find it very, very interesting because he really gets into the archaeology of whether... Have any of you seen it?
No.
Okay, he gets into the archaeology and the proof is pretty strong.
It is a really good show. So. She told me about it, forced me to watch it. And I enjoyed it. And I thought it was well done. It's like she says, it's a guy who went back in and looked at all the evidence and said, yeah, all the evidence is there, but the traditional archaeologists made some assumptions that were wrong and misinterpreted everything. But you can't just tell them that. You have to prove it. And then once you prove it, they don't believe it and they won't change because they like it. And so then this guy said, well, I'm going to do a documentary. Now people have to take notice because they brought it out to the public and said, you know, you've been told this. This is what they really know. This is what they really have found out. And it all goes around that place called Ramses that we just read about, okay, and how that's defined. So, but I'm not going to do the show for you here, but it is a good show, and you should take a few minutes and watch it. It's prophecy in the news and prophecy watchers, sky watchers. Those two shows on TV, they both had the guys in there that did it and talked about it, and they're real high on it, too. So it's not just my wife. You don't have to take her word for it. Well, you can take her word for it if you want, but okay. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Jubilees 46. Jacob dies, and the children of Israel multiply. And it came to pass that after Jacob died, the children of Israel multiplied in the land of Egypt. They became a great nation, and they were of one accord in heart, so that the brother loved brother, and every man helped his brother, and they increased abundantly and multiplied exceedingly 10 weeks of years, all the days of the life of Joseph. Isn't that an interesting thing? You know, Jesus tells us that you got to love one another. You have to be in unity for God to really do special things. And here, I've never heard this before, have you, that while they were there, that all these things took place, you know, that they were really an idyllic family? Yeah, well, sometimes trying to deal with the circumstances around us brings families together, outside pressure, and you kind of knit you together. That's what I think was going on here. But God's blessing them for that unity. Praise the Lord. And Joseph died, being 110 years old. 17 years he lived in the land of Canaan. 17 years he lived in the land of Canaan. Verse 2? Oh, I don't want to miss that. Weeks of years in the life of Joseph. And there was no Satan nor any evil all the days of the life of Joseph, which he lived after his father Jacob, for all the Egyptians honored the children of Israel all the days of the life of Joseph. Wow. How does that happen? How does that happen? You mean Satan can't just run roughshod over everybody? And then, of course, this next thing here, we know that brother loved brother. Satan couldn't get in. Satan couldn't tear things up. Man, if that isn't a message for the church. You know, you want churches to get together and to work and go places? Yeah, a little unity. And so there's no room for Satan in there, nor evil all the days of Joseph. And the Egyptians, you know, remember, they represent the world to us. Symbolically, Egypt is the world. You come out of the world, you get baptized. Remember, and now the Red Sea, all of that goes together. And they honored the children of Israel. I think there are times when you're walking close enough to God that those people that are around you in the world, they see it too. Amen. And they honor you. And they say, don't touch him. He's an honest man. He's an honest woman. They're doing their best. And even if you make a mistake, they'll say, well, that's you wouldn't have done that. You know, you just see people like that. And Joseph died 110 years old. 17 years he lived in the land of Canaan, and 10 years he was a servant, and 3 years in prison, 8 years he was under the king, ruling in the land of Egypt, and he died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And he commanded the children of Israel before he died that they should carry his bones with them when they went forth out of the land of Egypt. For all of this, he says, this is not my home. I want my bones to be with my family. I want to be with them when I die, and I want to be back home. And at this point in time, it's the land that God gave them. Amen. And he made them swear regarding his bones, for he knew that the Egyptians would not again bring forth and bury him in the land of Canaan. Don't trust the world. For Machmoron, king of Canaan, while dwelling in the land of Assyria, fought in the valley with the king of Egypt and slew him there, and pursued after the Egyptians to the gate of Ermon. But he was not able to enter in, for a new king had become king of Egypt, and he was stronger than he, and he returned to the land of Canaan, and the gates of Egypt were closed, and none went out, and none came in to Egypt. And Joseph died in the 46th Jubilee, in the 6th week, in the 2nd year, and they buried him in the land of Egypt, and all his brethren died after him, all of his brothers. And the king of Egypt went forth to war with the king of Canaan in the 47th Jubilee, in the second week, in the second year. And the children of Israel brought forth all the bones of the children of Jacob, save the bones of Joseph, and they buried them in the field of the double cave in the mountain. Boy, that place, you know, it's there today. It's called Machpelah. And you can get on the internet and look it up. You can, it's called the Tomb of the Patriarchs. And you can also go to Hebron, the city of Hebron. And the Jews in the city of Hebron had their site. I used to go there all the time and support them. But they also had connections or links over to it. And there's lots of stories and stuff about these caves. It's really cool. And the most of them returned to Egypt, but a few of them remained in the mountains of Hebron. And Amram, your father, remained with them. And the king of Canaan was victorious over the king of Egypt, and he closed the gates of Egypt. He devised an evil device against the children of Israel of afflicting them. And he said to the people of Egypt, "Behold, the people of the children of Israel have increased and multiplied more than we. Come, let us deal wisely with them before they become so many, and let us afflict them with slavery before war come upon us and before they too fight against us, else they join themselves unto our enemies and get them up out of our land, for the hearts and faces are towards their hearts and faces are towards the land of Canaan." And he set over them taskmasters to afflict them with slavery. And they built strong cities for Pharaoh, Pithom, and Ramses, and they built all the walls and all the fortresses which had fallen in the cities of Egypt, and they built them, and they made them serve with rigor, and the more they dealt evilly with them, the more they increased and multiplied, and the people of Egypt abominated the children of Israel. Now, I'm going to do one more chapter. Then we're going to stop, no matter what time it is, so that we have something to go through next week. Because I don't want to go through the whole thing today, because there are things in this last week that are so interesting, you don't want to cut it short. But we'll probably, I have already had somebody ask me, why don't you just go through it all? I kind of hope this next week to put together a highlight. And you can do the same thing. Go through and think about things that stand out to you about this book. Things that you see, I would not have known that if I hadn't read this. Or I know this better than I ever did before. And I'll give you an example. I did not know that animals could talk. And they all spoke the same language, and they lost that ability when they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. That I didn't know. I should have known that, because that's what Genesis says. In other words, if you believe God and take him at his word, then yes, the animals talk, because it says they do. But we're so used to people saying, well, you know, they don't actually talk. See, it was something else, but not actually talking. But they did. And it clarified that for me. And there are other areas through this book where I go, aha. Okay? And if you had any aha moments, I've heard them. I've been going through here, and I hear you all go, ah, see, and that's what those times are all about. Write them down, and we'll talk about them, because I think it's just a really cool book. Okay, Jubilees 47. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, kills all the male babies born. Ouch. And in the seventh week, in the seventh year, in the 47th Jubilee, oh, 47th Jubilee, two Jubilees away from the Jubilee of Jubilees, or the book. Your father went forth from the land of Canaan, and you were born in the fourth week, in the sixth year thereof, in the 48th Jubilee. This was the name, the time of tribulation on the children of Israel. And Pharaoh, king of Egypt, issued a command regarding them that they should cast all their male children, which were born, into the river. And they cast them in for 7 months, until the day that you were born and your mother hid you. You being Moses, because that's who he's talking to. Boy, he's brought it right up to time. Angel's sitting there on top of the mountain telling Moses, you, this is about you now. And your mother hid you for 3 months, and they told regarding her, and she made an ark for you and covered it with pitch and asphalt and placed it in the flags on the bank of the river. You've heard that before. It's not a lie. I'm telling you that, the angel says. And she placed you in it 7 days. Now, I didn't know that, did you? You think that they just kind of pushed it out there and out came the and picked it up. Here it says 7 days. And your mother came by night and suckled you, and by day, Miriam, your sister, guarded you from the birds. Wow. Aha. And in those days, Tarmuth, the daughter of Pharaoh, came to bathe. Did you know her name before? Come on, guys. This is good stuff. Came to bathe in the river, and she heard your voice crying. And she told her maidens to bring you forth, and they brought you forth unto her. And she took you out of the ark, and she had compassion on you. And your sister said to her, shall I go and call unto you one of the Hebrew women to nurse and to suckle this babe for you? Wow. And she said, yeah, go. And she went and called your mother, Jochebed, and she gave her wages, and she nursed you. Now she's getting paid to take care of her own kid. How can God take something? You're going to have to kill this kid. Going to throw him in the river and drown him. Suddenly, he's not in the river anymore. It's turned upside down, and you're going to get paid for taking care of your own kid. And afterwards, when you were grown up, they brought you into the daughter of Pharaoh, and you just become her son. And Aram, your father, taught you writing, Amram. And after you had completed 3 weeks, 21 years old, right? They brought you into the royal court. And you were there 3 weeks of years at the court until the time, 2351, when you did go forth from the royal court and did see an Egyptian smiting your friend. Oh. Isn't that, that's not the word they just some other of his brethren. But here he says it was his friend that he saw getting beat up by the Egyptian, who was of the children of Israel, who did slay him and hid him in the sand. And on the second day you did, and two of the children of Israel striving together, and you did say to him who was doing the wrong, why do you smite your brother? And he was angry and indignant and said, who made you a prince and a judge over us? Think you to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday? And you did fear and flee on account of these words. Now he's left and is fleeting. Hallelujah. We're going to stop. We have 48, 49, 50, and then we'll do this talk. All of that happens after you eat, which means you have to be careful not to overeat. Johnny, we have a question right back here. And it looks like we have time. Aren't we lucky?
This is just a question. Jesus had said that it was my friends that slayed me. Basically, he said, in the house of my friend. It wasn't really his friend, but it was his brother and such as the Hebrews or the Jewish people. So it was the, it wasn't really his friend, but it was, I guess, relative.
Do you remember when God says that he calls Abraham a friend of God? See, you can be a brother or an acquaintance, and then to be someone, say, friend, that brings you up just a little bit. That just sets you up just a little bit closer to the person that's saying it. You know, it doesn't mean that we hang out together necessarily, because he was an Egyptian, or living with the Egyptians, acting like the Egyptians, trained as an Egyptian, but still looking down and seeing his brethren and being able to call him a friend of mine. And the angel's the one that used that word. See, Moses didn't say he was a friend of mine. The angel said, you saw one of your friends being smitten, and it bothered you, and you did something about it. So we're being told by the angel. Amen? Any other comments, questions? Okay, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, your love is amazing. That you care for people, and that your sight is upon the sons of men, and that you reach down and you touch us, and you know our thoughts, and you know what bothers us, and you know what we need, oh God. We want to thank you that you care for us like you cared for Joseph and Jacob and Abraham and Isaac and all of those people, like you cared enough to keep track of their names, to keep track of the days that things happened, oh God. Help us, oh God, to walk close to you, that we too, Lord God, can be a part of your story, Lord God, for generations to come. That in the time of the end, where we're at right now, that they'll be able to say there were people at Bethel Biblical Church who sought God and who got down on their knees and did things and read and studied and wanted to know what I was going to do. And I just pray, God, that your angels will keep these people, that you'll come around them, O God, and you'll be with them, Lord God. And as they move through the day, Lord God, and through the next week, Lord God, you'll protect them, Lord God. And if anybody tries to touch them, Lord God, you take care of it, Lord God. You deal with it, Lord God. We give our lives to you. In Jesus' name, amen.